Does my life matter? Does God even see me? Can I do anything for God? And does God want me to do anything? Do you feel like you are the smallest, that you are not significant? Young people, maybe you felt left out at work, in school, in the community, among your relatives, and nobody seems to notice you. You may be thinking, do I really matter? Sometimes we look at the world and feel so small. You know, the sky is massive, and the stars and the universe is so huge. What am I? Sometimes we think, what's it all about? What about me? And this is exactly what Psalm 8 is saying. Is that on?
Your microphone is switched off. You're not using it,
aren't you? Sorry. I was, and then didn't. Thank you. So David, one night he looked up at the skies. Maybe he was looking at the at everything, and he reflected on the account of Genesis. I don't know, I wonder, do you do that? You think about something you've heard from Sunday school, something you've heard in church, and you think, well, how does it all fit? God, what about it? And he just reflected on creation. Reflection's a good thing to do. I've learned that. And he said this, Lord, our Lord, how great is your name in all the earth. David saw something in creation which pointed to God, that it had God's fingerprints on. He was the architect of it all. He made it with wisdom. He made it with beauty. And he made it with love. And it's much infinitely better than Elon Musk's idea of IA as well. You see, I wonder if you can think about those drones that look down on, and you see pictures on the TV of looking down on the countryside, on mountains or oceans, or animals and trees. They just show how amazing God's creation really is. It reveals something of himself. Just like when we see a painting, it reveals something of the painter. And, okay. But David had a question, and his question was this: what is mankind that you are mindful of him? We might think small. And by the way, there's a load of stuff underneath some chairs here. So I wonder if anyone can find what is underneath the chairs, and they can bring it to me as I am up here. So we do need it. Thank you. What have you found? Wow. Found a heart, a camel. Lovely. Lock. Oh, fantastic. A spotty. Oh, you found the doggy. Oh, lovely. Yeah, brilliant. There should be one or two more. One, two, three, four. Oh, excellent. This is very important, a small thing. When my son, within a church weekend, he fell, broke his arm, and this was the teddy, Spotty, that helped him. Small, but very important. So, chickens are very important to people in this church, aren't they? They're small, but they're important. Heart is very important, isn't it? A little thing. It says here, you are my child and I love you. Wow. Now, battery is small, but it's really important, isn't it? And this, even a lock is so important. But what was, and we're going to look at that in a moment, Because we're small, we know what we're like, don't we? We know what we're like. We're often scared and weak and confused. We fail and we get hurt and we feel alone. And then God says something amazing. He says in verse 3, he says, I made you a little lower than the angels. I crowned you with glory and honor. What does that mean? It means this. It means that you really matter to God. It means that you are important to him. Not because you're rich, not because you're perfect or famous or a somebody, but because God made you and me. You see, God loves to use the small and the weak. This is what he does. If you were look at the Bible, you'll see that in the Psalms, he met David. He was a nothing. He was just a shepherd boy. And God made him something. And it has his struggles before Psalm 8. His struggles that he had. And after Psalm 8, the next few Psalms, it was about other people who were oppressed, like we can be, and have difficulties. It's all ties together. But David was thinking, what does God really think about me? You see, young people can praise God. And it's a powerful thing, isn't it? It can be prophetic. It just brings out something. There's something wonderful. And we'll look at that later on as well. A child can know kindness. A caring word can make somebody's day. Even a small word, something little. Jesus showed this too, didn't he? He didn't come in as a rich king in a palace. He came poor, in poverty, being made as a baby, laid in a small trough, a feeding trough. Not in his home either, somewhere else. God's love to show his power through weakness. Think about David and Goliath. You might think David would have no chance. You think about Moses in the basket. You think about the poor people, the saints. St. Francis, he had nothing. St. Cuthbert, he had nothing. Martin Luther, he had nothing, but yet God gave so much, and the whole world has been changed through them. God's love is working through ordinary people, and it means that he can work with you too. And he has a job for you. God has a job for you. What is that job? To look after the earth, to look after and be custodians of all we see around us. Not just the church building, not just of this stuff and us, but of all the environment, those bugs and animals and things. And I want to give you a quiz in a minute. Let's have a quiz, shall we? What do you think? There's four answers there about moths in the West Midlands. How many different species of moths do you think there are in the West Midlands? Are there 550, 1,200, 1,700, or 2,500? Okay, have a think. Hands up, A. Who thinks A? 550? Okay. Who thinks B? 1,200. Oh, we're seeing the good. Who thinks 1,700? And who thinks 2,500? In fact, the answer is 1,700. Well done. It's amazing. And that, by the way, that's not including the tiny ones that are in your house, that we have in our house, that get everywhere. Anyway, lovely. So we have so many more. There's another question. It's about the fungi. Fungi, how many fungi do you think live in the West Midlands? Is it 25,000, 15,000, 10,000, or 1,550? What do you think? Okay. Which one? A. Who thinks A? 25,000. Wow. Who thinks B? 15,000. Who thinks 10,000? Who thinks 1,550? The answer is, in fact, 15,000. If you got it right, well done. So that was actually counted. It's incredible. And that isn't even the other stuff that is underneath, underneath all the trees and bits and bobs. It's incredible, isn't it? You just wouldn't think of it, would you? How amazing creation is. Really amazing. And God wants us to look after it. Yes, he does. And finally, how many different species of wild animals live in the West Midlands? Well, what could it be? Is it 8,000, 7,000, 6,000, or 5,000? What do you think, guys? So we're thinking, you know, we're thinking of wild, we're not thinking about sheep and dogs and cats and stuff like that. No, wild species. What do you think? Who thinks 8,000? No. Who thinks 7,000? Who thinks 6,000? Who thinks 5,000? Did your hand go up there, Hazel? Because if you said 5,000, you were right. You are right. Well done. Ah, yes. Oh, did I? Oh, I wrote it wrong. Did I write it wrong? I know. I rewrote these and I realized that I sent the wrong one. So, anyway, we've got the right answer. Great. I'm just going to go back onto that slide for a moment. See, we're not supposed to destroy the world. We're supposed to take care of it. Being kind to others and animals, picking up the litter and other people's litter even. Yeah. Protecting nature, enriching it and allowing it to flourish. Caring for animals, sharing with other people. These things matter to God. It might not be a big thing to some of us, but it's explicit there. It's explicit. And it's all based on creation. But the greatest part of Psalm 8 is that it points to Jesus. It points to Jesus. I'm just going to go back to... there we are. Hooray. Come on. Oh, no, that one. That one. Okay. So it goes... Oh, come on. Hooray, there it is. So it points to Jesus. I wonder, do you remember a few weeks ago when lovely Smee was speaking on Palm Sunday and we had this massive load of fabric on the floor from the front to the back of the church, and Jesus was riding on a donkey and people were praising him and shouting Hosanna and waving branches. And we were waving our hands and stuff. And later on, he went up into Jerusalem, into the temple, and the very grumpy priest asked him, why are people saying this? And Jesus answered in Matthew 21. He says, in fact, he gave the interpretation of this verse from Psalm 8, verse 2. And it says, haven't you ever read that out of the mouths of babes and suckling, I have ordained praise. I've ordained praise. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It points to the one and only that we should give him honor and glory, because he knows and he feels our pain and suffering, because he died, but rose again, and he promises something utterly amazing. And I'm going to go to my last slide. Something utterly amazing. He promises this wonderful promise. Jesus said, I am with you always. Can you put your hand up? Can you just put your hand up And like this, can you say this? Can you say after me, repeat after me? I am with you always. Jesus said, I am with you always. You see, when we are scared, when we feel alone, when life is hard, when we fail, what is it? Jesus, I am with you always. At that hospital appointment, my son and my grandson had two today. When you're angry, when you're confused, when you're totally worn out, when you think you're forgotten by God, you aren't, because Jesus said, I am with you always. When you look up the night sky, you might not remember this, but God made every star. The ones we just see in Birmingham, but it's an awful lot more, apparently. Your life matters. You have value. You are loved. Creation matters to God. Trust him, because Jesus said, I am always. And keep on doing good to others in our congregation. Keep on doing good to creation. Keep on loving each other. Because Jesus said, Amen.